Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. It's always a privilege to come together, and in a unique way, as we gather together in our homes, and we trust that the Lord will really speak to us through His Word. And with that in mind, I want us just to close our eyes and pray together. Father, we thank You for this time. Time that we can set apart to connect with You, to hear and to receive Your Word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will truly come and open our eyes of our understanding, our ears to hear and to perceive that what You are saying to us through Your Spirit. I pray that You will bless us this time with more of You in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon is Man Shall Not Live by Bread Alone. Of course, it's a very well-known quote of Jesus. And I want us just to ponder on that for a moment. As I was preparing for this week's sermon, the Lord laid this on my heart, and I was kind of planning to preach something different, but I really believe this is what the Lord is saying to us in this time. And of course, the context of these words was Jesus being in the desert for 40 days fasting. And at the end of this 40 days, Jesus was really hungry. And I think that's something that hunger does. Hunger is very humiliating in a certain sense, that it makes us weak. It taps our strength to the point where we are weak in our ability and capacity, in our own strength. And the longer we are without food, the weaker we become. Until we come to this point where we realize that we cannot continue with our own strength. We need something from the outside to sustain us. We need something to give us strength and energy that is not from ourselves. You know, I must confess, I do not enjoy fasting. The longest I've ever fasted was 12 days without food, only water. And I remember I was a young man. I was still an intern at the time. And the fast wasn't my choice. It was our senior pastor that announced a fast for 12 days for all of our staff and that those of the congregation that wanted to join us. And so in a certain sense, I didn't have a choice. So I fasted for these 12 days, and it was quite a humbling experience. Humbling in the sense that I was young and fit, and the longer the fast continued, the weaker I became. We continued with our work as normal. And I soon realized that in myself, all my success, my strength, and my ability is dependent on something outside of myself, something as simple as food, that even in all my ability and strength, I cannot continue within myself. There is something that I need. I realized that I could not sustain myself, all my ability and strength, and even my achievements, I realized was still dependent on an outside substance. And that's what humbling effect fasting have on us. To bring us to this point where we focus not on ourselves, but on God. I remember the most difficult day of that fast was the last day. The last day when I knew it's going to end tonight and I must just go through this last intercession meeting and then I can have some food. And I was thinking this whole day about what I'm going to eat and how it's going to taste. And I couldn't wait for that moment where I could sit down and eat again. And I remember we all went to an Italian restaurant and I had this big pizza, the biggest they had, with all the meats that they had on this pizza. I can still remember that pizza to this day. It was the most amazing pizza I ever had. And the point that really sunk into my heart was that I needed something. I needed this food to restore my strength, to give life to my weak body. And it was an amazing experience to be able to eat again. Jesus was fasting for 40 days. And Jesus was really hungry by the time the devil came to tempt him. When the devil tempted him to turn the stones into bread, Jesus' answer was quite profound. We read of this in Luke 4, from verse 4, it says, Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Quite a profound statement. Now, of course, Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy 8. And if we read Deuteronomy 8, it gives us even more insight into this statement that Jesus made. The context is so powerful, and it leans to a greater revelation of what Jesus was saying. And I want us to read Deuteronomy chapter 8 together. It says here from verse 1, Be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord has promised on an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you will keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. You see, what is so powerful to note there is that God humbled the Israelites through hunger and then provided for them in order to test their hearts whether they would keep his commandments or not. But at the same time as the humbling experience through hunger, at the same time God provided for them supernaturally. He provided for them powerfully through not their own means, but through the manna, something that neither they nor their fathers knew, something that was unknown to them. God provided for them supernaturally, preserving even the clothes and their feet. To teach them, and this is the point, to teach them that He is their ultimate source of provision, survival, and success. To teach them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. It's so powerful that God is saying that if you are following me, if you follow my words, my commandments, I will give you everything that you need. It sounds very similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 6. We spoke about it last week. Jesus said, but seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. But that was not the only principle that God was conveying to his people. If we read further from verse 6, it continues to say, So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the villages and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and in whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care, beware, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, have built good houses and live in them, and when you are your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you, that you do good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. And do not forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods, and serve them and worship them, for solemnly I've warned you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Why does God say this? Why will you perish? Because you cannot live by bread alone, by what is natural, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God is saying, I am the one that is providing for you. I am the one who led you. I am the one who gave you water. I am the one who fed you. I am the one who gave you this land. I am the one that gave you the power to get wealth. Do not forget me when you achieve, when you reach this place of fullness, of abundance, when you have the wealth and the comfort of everything that I have provided for you. Do not forget me. Do not allow pride to grow in your heart to say that it is through your strength that you gained this. No, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds of my mouth. I am the one that led, sustained, and provided for you. Do not forget me. Think in your heart that my power and my might has gotten me this wealth. Do not forget me and disobey my word. Do not forget me and turn to other gods. If there is one thing that we have learned, that we see during this time when we are faced with this virus, if there's one thing that collectively we experience, is being humbled. We're humbled in our pride of thinking that we have the ability to gain wealth by ourselves, that we have the right to do whatever we want. If there's one thing that this virus has brought the entire humanity, is humility, is to be humbled, that we cannot do what we want, that we're locked down in our own homes. But like a father that disciplines his own son, God disciplines us. God is not using this to judge us. I believe God is using this to teach us, to discipline us. Like a father that disciplines his own son, we are grounded. Like a son that is sent to his room to lock his door and stay in his room and to consider his actions. So I believe God is also locking us down to consider our own hearts and our own actions, to think about the attitudes of our heart. I do not believe this is God's judgment. I do believe that God is using this virus to discipline us. Because God doesn't want us to perish. God wants us to have life. If some may think they have the power in themselves, the power to get wealth, well, God is taking that away from us for a time. If some may think they have the right to do whatever they want, well, God is taking that away from us for a while. If we think that we can live without God's protection, God is lifting that for a while. So that we can see, so that we can understand that we cannot live by the natural alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with the manna which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That what we need to live does not come from ourselves. Just like we don't have the power within ourselves to gain wealth, But it is God that gives us that. So too, we do not have the wisdom within ourselves to find a cure for this virus. It is God that gives us the power to gain wealth. It is also God that will give us the wisdom to find a cure. But it is God Himself that grants this to us. Matthew 5 verse 45 says, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. We are all humbled in this time. We were humbled not a while ago when we were facing this drought. And we realized that in all our power, in all our wealth, in all our wisdom, we cannot create rain. We are dependent on the hand of God. And we humbled ourselves and we prayed and we asked God to have mercy on us. And God heard our prayers and He sent us rain. And again today, we are humbled as we face a lockdown in our own homes, and we realize that we do not have the power within ourselves to escape this virus. We cannot do what we want unless God grants us mercy and grace and the wisdom to find a cure. We find that the source of life is not within ourselves. It can only be found in God. So I want to encourage us to use this time out in our rooms, that we will consider the attitudes of our heart, that we will think about where we find our source and our security, to purify our hearts from the pride that is within us, and to realign our hearts, with the one that provides, that cares, that sustains, that upholds everything. That we will again turn to our first love and our priority. That we will put our faith not in the ability of man, our ability of ourselves, but in the ability of God. So that Deuteronomy 8 verse 10 may become true, and you shall eat and be filled, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that He has given you. God encourages us in this time to draw near to Him. He says that if you follow Me, if you obey My word, if you acknowledge Me and not forget Me, I will bless you, I will prosper you, I will protect you, and I will grant you to be satisfied. It's so amazing to see in this time of humility, of being humbled, that even our president make mention of God in every speech. That a day of national prayer was declared, and that we have an opportunity just to be still and to be humble before God again. In the midst of temptation and fear, we can have the boldness to say, man shall not live by bread alone, man shall not live by what we have in the natural, but we shall live by the word, the will, the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. That we shall know and see that the natural is not the primary source of our life, but that everything around us is upheld by God, and that He is our source of life, of substance, protection. It is His word, His love, His grace that sustains us. And this gives me great confidence. This gives me great confidence when I hear Jesus speak these words, when He says, man shall not live by what is bread, what is natural, alone. But man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It gives me great confidence because this God is my dad and I am His child. And I know that He loves me. I know that this season will also pass. But I make use of this time to draw near to Him. And I want to encourage each and every one of us that we will make use of this time to purify our hearts, to be still before God, and to focus again on Him, and to allow Him to teach us not to lose confidence in who He is, and not to put our trust in man, but to put our trust in Him. And as we do, God again will send the rain like He did before, and He will also give us the wisdom to overcome this virus, so that we again can be free to gain wealth and to live the way we desire to. But let us not forget When we come to this place of abundance, let us not forget God. Let us honor Him. Let us acknowledge Him by obeying His word, following Him, and surrendering our lives to Him so that He may be glorified in everything that we do. So with this, I want to close, and I want to ask us that we will take this time and consider our hearts, realign ourselves to focus again on Him as our Father, our God, and the one who gives us everything. Let us pray together. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You, Lord, that we can be together. Lord, we thank You that in the midst of being humbled in our weakness, God, we can turn to You and acknowledge that life does not come from within us. Life is not sustained by the natural only, but it is sustained by You. And that we have boldness to come to You and declare that You alone are God. And Lord, I pray in this time, Lord, that You will teach us more of Yourself, that You will purify us. Lord, that we may grow through this season so that we may bring glory to You in everything that we do and say. And we ask You this in Jesus' name. Amen.